And you feel that, she doesn't appreciate.
Appreciate? You know, I even the other day moved her bedroom, furniture around.
I did that in my house.
I did. I thought it looked awful where it was, you know. But what annoys me is my room. Is my room. If it's in a muddle, I know where everything is. I like my room to be in a mess. But you see, I keep that as a sort of main bedroom, you know. Yes, sometimes I don't even sleep in my room. It's so cold. Ooh, crumbs. How do you feel on this subject, Pamels?
Negative.
I always know where everything is in my room, even if it is untidy. But my mother comes along, and I can't find anything anywhere. I like it when you get to that age where your parents seem to realize that you're going off on your own. You've got your own life to lead, so you think. Right, well, leave all her things. She can do what she likes with them. It's her time. She can do what she likes with her time. They start from a certain point, don't they?
Well, I don't think they always do that. They try to remember that you're growing up, and then they forget. Yes, they try to protect you. They're treating you like children and telling you where to put things.
Going round tidying up after you. 6. Intimate elder sisters. Allay teenagers' worries. Xiao Lin, a third-year junior high school student from Beijing, packed his books and clothes and left home with tears in his eyes. He felt his divorced parents never loved him. He felt lonely, but he did not know where to go. He thought of 440779, a phone number to reach the so-called intimate elder sisters. That day was a day to remember in his whole life. One of the sisters came to see him, and to his utter enjoyment, spent the day playing with him. She told me, "The world is not as cold as you think it is. There is so much love here. I love you. Your friends love you." Xiao Lin stayed at home, trying to fill it with the love he got from his intimate elder sister. Actually, the intimate elder sisters are Wu Ruo Mei, Lu Qin, Ge Shu Juan, and Huang Xiaopo, editors of the China Children's News. Since they opened the hotline in March 1988, they have received more than 10,000 calls from children across the country. "We hope to ease their troubles through heart-to-heart chats," said Wu Ruomei. Many of the children they talked to were disturbed by secrets they felt obliged to keep from both their parents and their teachers. Children reach the elder sisters every day by phone with a wide range of funny or astonishing questions. "I'm growing into a fatty, sister, and I don't want that." And, "What do children on other planets look like?" The questions are not always small and easy to solve. Yet, even if we just listen to these children sobbing, we're helping them out of their loneliness, Wu said. When little Yanni called her elder sister in Beijing from Wuhan, she was weeping. "Mama is dying from cancer," she said. "I don't want her to leave me." After comforting little Yanni, her sisters informed children in other parts of the country, who sent Yanni and her mother letters and gifts, encouraging them to fight the disease courageously. A Beijing boy refused to be identified on the phone. But he told his elder sister his cousin had accidentally injured another child and had to pay all the medical fees. Afraid of informing his parents, he had stolen 110 yuan from a classmate's home and was discovered later. He was in great distress, but did not know what to do. Wu said to him, "The boy's actions are forgivable. Once he clears up the situation, he'll win the trust of others." Her sense told her that the boy was talking about himself. After the call, Wu wrote to the boy's father, asking them to help the boy. A few days later, a boy appeared before the editors. It was he who had taken the money. Now, a good student in number 20 middle school of Beijing, he often visits with his elder sisters. During the past year, Wu and her colleagues also opened the hotline for a short period in 8 other cities in the country. In Nanning, capital of South China's Guangxi Zhuang Autonomous Region, they received 509 calls in 3 days.
Lesson 15. Should smoking be prohibited? Text. Passive path to death for non-smokers. Alice Trillin was 38 and thought she was in excellent health. Then, this completely crazy thing happened. I coughed, and a tiny, tiny blood clot took me to get a chest X-ray. 10 days later, I had my lung removed. Trillin had lung cancer, the kind smokers get. But she had never smoked a cigarette. The cause of her cancer remained a mystery until a doctor friend asked if her parents had smoked. They had. Nobody had ever said anything about passive smoking. I hadn't worried about the question much, she says. Most scientists hadn't worried about it much either, until studies in recent years showed that passive smoking was causing 3,000 to 5,000 lung cancer deaths a year among American non-smokers. Now, a study estimates that the toll from passive smoking, including deaths from heart disease and other cancers, may be 10 times that. Tobacco smoke in the home and workplace could be killing 46,000 non-smokers each year in the United States, the study concludes. That's 3,000 lung cancer deaths, 11,000 from other cancers, and 32,000 heart disease deaths. That would make passive smoking the leading preventable cause of death in the United States, after alcohol and smoking itself, said Dr. Ronald M. Davis, director of the U.S. Office on Smoking and Health. Smoking kills 390,000. Alcohol, 120,000. No longer are we talking about runny nose or watery eyes or headache or nausea, but a fatal disease, Davis said. Passive smoking has become the principal battleground for the tobacco industry and its opponents in the 1980s. It is no longer merely a health issue, but political and environmental. Cigarette pollution is fouling the air. We know that the indoor environment is far more polluted than the outdoor environment, said James Repace of the Environmental Protection Agency Indoor Air Program. We've seen that again and again, wherever we've looked, all over the United States. Many people believe smokers have the right to smoke, but they also believe that others shouldn't have to pay a price. When you talk about an involuntary risk, the society becomes much more cautious, said University of California, San Francisco, biomedical engineer Stanton Glantz, an environmentalist and anti-smoking activist. The new estimate of non-smoker deaths is controversial. Researchers agree it is preliminary and needs to be confirmed. A tobacco industry consultant said the emphasis on passive smoking was misplaced. Many public health officials disagree. The risk of tobacco smoke is greater than the risk of radon gas is to non-smokers, Repace said. We're talking maybe 40% greater. And if you're talking about all the carcinogenic air pollutants that EPA regulates, it's 100 times greater.
2. Read. Read the following passages. Underline the important viewpoints while reading. 1. Benefits of smoking. Sir, the essential fact about smoking, which most commentators of recent years seem to have ignored, is that cigarettes give a vast number of people a good deal of pleasure a lot of the time. That is why the world smoked almost 5 trillion of them last year, approximately 1,200 for every man, woman, and child on earth. It is not high-pressure advertising that makes the Chinese smoke heavily, any more than it was wicked merchants who persuaded the 17th century Persians to smoke, despite the Shah's ingenious punishment of pouring molten lead down their throats when they were caught. There is considerable evidence, surprisingly little publicized by cigarette manufacturers, that smoking produces certain beneficial effects in human beings. Frankenhauser showed that smoking counteracts the decrease in efficiency that typically occurs in boring, monotonous situations, and that smokers improved their performance in complex choice situations while smoking. There is a growing body of evidence that nicotine can produce a tranquilizing effect during high emotional and shock situations, while on the other hand, stimulating concentration in tedious situations. None of which proves that smoking may not cause cancer or other illnesses. But, as the late Sir Compton Mackenzie wrote, if cigarettes vanished from the earth today, I believe the world would go to war again within a comparatively short time. An extravagant exaggeration, perhaps, but certainly tempers would be shorter, nastier, and more brutish. Yours faithfully, Winston Fletcher.
2. Is smoking a bad habit? I, a casual smoker, always wonder if smoking is really a bad habit. If it is, why does our country produce such a large number of cigarettes every year? As you know, China is the largest cigarette-producing country in the world. If it is, why do so many girls admire handsome boys with a cigarette on their lip? My friends tell me, smoking is a waste of money, a cause of disease. Admittedly, these reasons frighten some people into giving up smoking. But can you ensure that non-smokers will live long without dying in an epidemic or getting killed by a drunken driver? Can you say it is not a waste of money for most non-smokers habitually to spend a lot of money on snacks? In my opinion, smoking is only an amusement, like playing cards, reading, etc. Many years ago, when an adult handed me a cigarette and lit it for me, I felt grown up. When I am with friends and have nothing to say, we smoke. Consequently, we no longer feel embarrassed. Sometimes, I light a cigarette, watching my loneliness, suffering, and nervousness vanishing with the smoke. I can't help saying inwardly, "Hello, cigarette, my old friend. I'm coming to meet you again."
3. Smokers of the World Unite. It can scarcely have escaped the notice of thinking men, I think, being a thinking man myself, that the forces of darkness, opposed to those of us who like a quiet smoke, are gathering momentum daily and starting to throw their weight about more somewhat. Every morning I read in the papers a long article by another of those doctors who are the spearhead of the movement. Tobacco, they say, plugs up the arteries and lowers the temperature of the body extremities. And if you reply that you like your arteries plugged up and are all for having the temperature of your body extremities lowered, especially during the summer months, they bring up that cat again. The cat to which I allude is the one that has 2 drops of nicotine placed on its tongue and instantly passes beyond the veil. "Look," they say, "I place 2 drops of nicotine on the cat's tongue. Now watch it wilt." I can't see the argument. Cats, as Charles Stewart Colvery said, may have their goose cooked by tobacco juice. But are we to deprive ourselves of all our modest pleasures just because indulgence in them would be harmful to some cat, which is probably a perfect stranger? Take a simple instance, such as occurs every Saturday on the rugby football field. The ball is heeled out. The scrum half gathers it, and instantaneously, 2 14-stone forwards fling themselves on this person, grinding him into the mud. Must we abolish Twickenham and Murrayfield because some sorry reasoner insists that if the scrum half had been a cat, he would have been squashed flatter than a Dover sole? And no use, of course, to try to drive into these morons' heads that scrum halves are not cats. Really, one feels inclined at times to give it all up and turn one's face to the wall. It is pitiful to think that that is how these men spend their lives, putting drops of nicotine on the tongues of cats day after day. Slaves to a habit is the way I look at it. But if you tell them that, and urge them to pull themselves together and throw off the shackles, they just look at you with fishy eyes and mumble something about it can't be done. Of course it can be done. All it requires is willpower. If they were to say to themselves, "I will not start putting nicotine on cats' tongues till after lunch," it would be a simple step to knocking off during the afternoon, and by degrees they would find that they could abstain altogether. The first cat of the cats is the hard one to give up. Conquer the impulse for the after-breakfast cat, and the battle is half won.
4. Common sense about smoking. It is often said I know all about the risk to my health, but I think that the risk is worth it. When this statement is true, it should be accepted. Everyone has the right to choose what risks they take, however great they may be. However, often the statement really means, I have a nasty feeling that smoking is bad for my health, but I would rather not think about it. With some of these people, the bluff can be called, and they can be asked to explain what they think the risk to their own health is. When this is done, few get very far in personal terms. The bare fact that 23,000 people died of lung cancer last year in Great Britain often fails to impress an individual. When it is explained that this is the equivalent of one every 25 minutes, or is four times as many as those killed on the roads, the significance is more apparent. The 1 in 8 risk of dying of lung cancer for the man who smokes 25 or more cigarettes a day may be better appreciated if an analogy is used. If, when you boarded a plane, the girl at the top of the steps were to welcome you aboard with the greeting, I'm pleased that you are coming with us. Only 1 in 8 of our planes crashes. How many would think again and make other arrangements? Alternatively, the analogy of Russian roulette may appeal. The man smoking 25 or more a day runs the same risk between the ages of 30 and 60 as another who buys a revolver with 250 chambers and inserts one live bullet and on each of his birthdays spins the chamber, points the revolver at his head, and pulls the trigger. One of the difficulties in impressing these facts on people is that, despite the current epidemic of lung cancer, because it is a disease which kills relatively quickly, there are many who have as yet no experience of it among their family or friends.
5. On smoking, its history and harm. Tobacco smoking is believed to have started in Central and South America. Nearly 500 years ago, explorers who went there with Columbus brought back to Europe the habit of pipe smoking, which they had learned from the New World Indians. It was introduced into China from Luzon during the Ming Dynasty. Until the 1900s, tobacco was used mainly for cigars, chewing tobacco, pipe tobacco, and snuff. Cigarettes may first have been made by the Aztecs of Mexico. They smoked shredded tobacco rolled in corn husk covering. Cigarette smoking gained some popularity in Europe during the 1800s. It increased sharply after World War I and again after World War II. For centuries, the smoking of tobacco in cigarettes, cigars, and pipes has produced controversy over possible health hazards. Scientific investigations of smoking and health gained impetus after the beginning of the 20th century, when an increase in lung cancer was noted. But only since the 1950s has sufficient scientific evidence accumulated to make possible a thorough evaluation of the health risk. Although some gaps in knowledge still exist, the information now available is sufficient to permit making sound judgments. Since cigarettes have steadily become more popular than cigars and pipes, investigators have directed their principal consideration to cigarette smoking. As we now know, tobacco contains an organic compound, nicotine. It is the principal alkaloid of tobacco, occurring throughout the plant. Nicotine, one of the many substances pharmacologically active in tobacco smoke, exerts an effect on the heart and nervous system in particular. The effect on the nervous system is predominantly tranquilizing and relaxing. There is little doubt that the physiological effects strengthen the habit. So for centuries, some people obstinately believed tobacco smoking possessed medicinal properties. It reduced tension and was pleasurable. But in reality, it has turned out to be tragedy. When you smoke, you're breathing in close to a gram of dirty brown tar a day. Even the smoking of only a few cigarettes a day causes many dangerous ailments. An American scientist estimated that smokers who average a package a day for 20 years will lose about 8 years of their lives. Along with the increase in cigarette smoking, many scientific investigations have been undertaken. Overwhelming evidence proves the danger and harm of smoking. Experimental, clinical pathological, and epidemiological evidence indicates that cigarette smoking is the main cause of lung cancer. The risk of developing lung cancer increases with the number of cigarettes smoked per day and the duration of the smoking habit, and it diminishes with the cessation of smoking. Cigarette smoking was also found to be connected with other types of cancer. It is considered a major factor in causing cancer of the larynx and is associated with cancer of the esophagus. Smoking is a significant factor in the development of oral cancer, and pipe smoking alone, or with other tobacco use, is casually related to lip cancer. Cigarette smoking is the greatest cause of chronic bronchitis. A person suffering from chronic bronchitis may have the disease and the cough connected with it for many years, perhaps for the rest of his life. Cigarette smoking has also been found to be connected with pulmonary emphysema, a disabling disease of the lungs. The smoking of cigarettes increases the risk of dying from chronic bronchitis and from pulmonary emphysema.
听力课堂，欢迎你。
听力课堂，欢迎你。听啊，讲啊。